Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is about MCAN's Local Clean Energy Toolkit. Now, local clean energy projects and policies are key to getting us to 100% renewable energy. So MCAN, in conjunction with our partners at Mass Power Forward, has put together this Local Clean Energy Toolkit. Based on our experience with dozens of chapters and local volunteers, the materials included are intended to help bring you all the way from I'd like to do something locally that helps solve climate change to wow, we just won our first campaign. Even better, each of these victories gets your community and our state closer to being completely clean. MCAN built these materials so that you can build a team, make decisions about your next steps, and take action. And remember, we're always there to help. So what we're going to do is to play some sound from MCAN's recent annual conference, which was held at Northeastern University last March. And in it, Carol Oldham, the executive director of MCAN, describes the Clean Energy Toolkit and how you can use it. So listen in. And we'll put up links to how you can get to these things and how you can sign up for the various programs in the blog. Okay? Enjoy.
So in terms of the local campaigns, Joel mentioned this, but basically what we wanted to do, you know, we started feeling like a lot of, when people would say, what can we do? We would say, call your legislator. And we started realizing that, you know what, we need to give folks a really clear roadmap of what you guys can do in your communities that starts getting you to 100%, right? And so we came up with, so the goal of the campaign is to get 50 towns and cities to take action by the end of 2017. So there's a variety of different actions that cities and towns can take. And we have a set of resources that are available to all of you. So again, make sure that your email is clearly written on the sign-in sheet. So we have a way for you guys to do a local clean energy assessment so you figure out where your town is right now. We have a set of policy recommendations that you can choose based on where your town is, and policy and project recommendations. And then we have fact sheets for each of those. We're doing, we have some language for a sample resolution to say we want our town to get to 100%. We're doing webinars, and then we have some other campaign materials. So I'm actually going to, once I start talking through the assessment piece, I'm going to hand out a sample fact sheet for you guys. But basically what we're suggesting that folks do, and many of you have probably already done this in your city and town, is build your team. So if it's just you by yourself, it's gonna be exhausting to win this, right? You want 3 to 5 people who can help support you, and you probably know who those people are. So think about, like, maybe there's been an anti-pipeline group in your town, maybe there's a conservation commissioner, or an energy committee member, or, you know, even somebody on the board of selectmen who might be a good person to help you with this. Hold a first meeting and start thinking about what you want to do together. We suggest making it fun, because fun helps. Food helps too, we've discovered. And also, one of the things that we're trying to encourage folks to do is make it as inclusive as possible. So think about when people have to put kids to bed, and you know, where you have it, so can people get there? Is there parking, is there public transportation, those sorts of things. And then you can start thinking about what you might want to accomplish together. And then after you make some of those decisions, you can start talking to your elected officials. So the next thing we suggest is that energy assessment, which we call the Local Clean Energy Checklist. The idea is that it's a tool that you can sit down with somebody like your town energy manager or somebody on your board of selectmen or city council and check off everything that your town has done. And that gives you an idea of, are we a beginner town where nobody really thinks about climate change? Are we an intermediate town where folks have started thinking about climate change, but maybe there's still a lot of low-hanging fruit? Or are we an advanced town where we've picked all the low-hanging fruit and now we gotta do something hard? So, and it also, it helps you think about targeting your education. So if you try to do the big thing straight out of the box, you're going to have a really hard time because people just don't understand about climate change and they don't understand about clean energy. So that's why we have some of those beginner things for folks to do. So the checklist is actually, this is very, very tiny on this screen.
Yes.
there are three pages to it. And we didn't actually print it out, but it's on the MCAN website, it's on the Mass Power Forward website, and so you can get it and print it out or do it electronically and give it to us. Via email. So basically there's, I'm just gonna show you the three pages. Don't know why, because it's so tiny. But basically, we broke it into categories. So we've got energy efficiency stuff. We've got sort of town workings in terms of like, do you have somebody who deals with energy conservation, or do you have green community status? Clean energy issues, like, have you done community choice aggregation, or do you have some other renewable energy purchasing that's happening? What does the transportation look like in your town? Does everybody have to drive everywhere? Are there electric vehicle charging stations? Other sustainability actions, we sort of tried to include, and again, this is with the idea of helping you think about how far along is the education piece in our community. How much do we talk to folks about these issues? So things like waste, recycling, compost, and then we included climate adaptation. So what do your storm drains look like? Are you near the ocean, and have you thought about how that's going to impact things over the next 10 to 20 years? So the idea is that you take the checklist, you sit down with somebody in town who will know these things, again, your town manager, your energy conservation person, somebody on your board of selectmen. You go through the categories and check off all the boxes of the things that you've done. You score your town, and then you get us that information so that, because what we're trying to do is be as responsive as possible to all of you who give us the checklist, and we're trying to get trainings out for you guys and sort of, up either on a webinar or actually coming out to do some coaching with you guys in person. And then what you'll want to do is, once you learn about what our policy and project recommendations are, you get to pick a project and start running with it. So I've already covered this, but basically, so these are sort of our project recommendations, policy and project recommendations. So the first one is conduct a greenhouse gas inventory. And I actually have some fact sheets for that so that you guys can see what these look like. If there are any extra, please get them back to me because we have another workshop in the afternoon. And I hope you have enough of them for both. Not sure I actually printed enough, but so the three sort of basic beginner level category items are do a greenhouse gas inventory. And as you can see from this fact sheet, the idea is once you know where your emissions are coming from, you can start thinking about where to cut them. But there are sometimes surprises. So like, for instance, Lexington found out that like a third of their emissions were coming from manufacturing. I don't think of Lexington that way. I think it was a surprise to you guys. Another one would be to do an energy efficiency audit for your town buildings. And joining the Green Communities program is a really good idea because you can actually get grants to do this stuff. It takes some legwork to get into the Green Communities program. How many folks are from a Green Community? All right, so it looks like the majority of you, but And again, sorry, Connecticut, this is not exactly the same thing.
But I'll just say, my colleague, so again, Joel at Clean Water Action, my colleague Melissa Everett in Connecticut Clean Water Action has done a ton of work working with municipalities. So there's comparable work in many states.
Yes, so you have a lot.
So then, if you do the checklist and you score as an intermediate town, just realize that's going to be super loud on my recording. You might want to do something like green municipal aggregation. So Arlington did green municipal aggregation. Brookline has done green community aggregation. You might want to pass a solar-ready bylaw so that any new town building that gets built, the roof can have solar on it. You might want to do a solarized program in town. How many folks here have done solarized programs in their towns? And one thing we've got a fact sheet that's about doubling your, so setting a goal of doubling the amount of clean energy that's coming off of your municipal buildings. So setting some sort of ambitious goal like that. And honestly, it's not always super ambitious because you might have very little coming off of your buildings and doubling it isn't that hard. So in terms of aggregation, and we've got a lot of materials, not just, MCAN actually has even more materials than are on the Mass Power Forward website or on our Mass Power Forward section in the MCAN website. So if you're thinking about doing green aggregation, email me. But Dedham and Melrose are two communities that have done, were you supposed to do this slide?
Go for it.
Okay. Dedham and Melrose have both done green aggregation, green municipal aggregation. So basically what green aggregation is, or community choice energy as Boston is calling it, or community choice aggregation, there are many different names for it, but basically the idea is that the town becomes the energy purchaser for all the households. So one of the nice things is that it's this economies of scale issue where all of a sudden, rather than trying to go door to door and get everybody to opt in, it's just an opt out program. And so even 5% is like signing up 1,000 households or more at one pop. So it's this amazing.
Businesses and nonprofits.
Yes, small businesses and nonprofits are automatically included. Basically, anybody who's on basic service gets included. They can opt out if they don't want to be a part of it, but they're automatically included. And frankly, most people want to be a part of it. They just get confused when they have to do the research themselves frequently.
I think it's also worth just for folks, if this is not clear to you already, if you look at your bill, right, you have different sections for the supply of energy and sort of how it gets to you,
right,
the delivery. So this is about changing the supply. Like, right, so you probably don't have immediate agency about changing who owns the power lines, but you can choose where the energy comes from or how it, who is conducting the service. So that's what aggregation is about.
And then another nice thing about aggregation is that you still get the same bill. So it's not, you know, you don't need any new lines. You don't need any new, like, you know, billing companies. It basically is very streamlined for the consumer. So,
Kat, do you have examples of like savings people are making?
So many examples. Yeah. Find me afterwards.
Right.
but basically, the idea is that, you know, they, like these two communities that we're highlighting, they've done 5%, and this was something that you guys did in Arlington as well. 5% above what's required at this point in the state. So right now the state requires 11% clean energy, and they're saying, no, we're gonna go an extra 5% clean energy for a total of 16% clean energy.
We're also doing opt-up in Arlington,
right.
So you can individually opt up to 50% or 100%
yep.
in your home.
And that is a very common structure, which is fabulous. So the top tier that we've got, again, this is the hard stuff for the communities that have already done a lot. So it's things like, can you do an energy efficiency program, pilot an energy efficiency program that's really aimed at serving renters and low-income families? That's hard. Nobody's figured out exactly how to do it yet. So let's try and see a couple different models and see how it works, right? Doing a net zero plan, which Ben's gonna talk about in just a minute, you know, that is also really hard. You know, net zero, 100%, they're basically accomplishing the same thing, right? Getting us off of fossil fuels altogether
It's not easy. And if you've already got a climate action plan, one of the things that your community might consider is, does it include environmental justice and equity principles? So the folks who are most likely to be hardest hit in your community, does it address those issues that they're going to be facing? Chances are probably not. So you could go back and think about rewriting it with, or updating it with the equity principles included. Do you want to touch on that at all?
Yeah, just two, and we'll do a little more on this later, but I want to just add two things. So on the first bullet, I just wanted to, for folks in Massachusetts, if you looked at energy efficiency, you might be familiar with the Mass Save program, or otherwise for the program that's available for people who are on fuel assistance, the federally funded weatherization assistance program. So the there are two kind of cool updates happening with regards to renters and sort of low moderate income. One is that after a 7-year campaign waged by Clean Water and many of our allies, utility companies are finally translating some of their materials, which we're extremely excited about. Boston Climate Action Network is like an example of one of our partners in that. And another thing is that there's going to be specific materials created around renters and moderate income, because we identified that there are folks who have additional barriers who might not be on totally fuel assistance, or might not be on the federally funded program, but have some barriers around their housing type or the split incentive between the owner of the property and, you know, the tenant who lives there. So there's some materials coming out specific to new incentives that we're creating. That's really exciting and a great thing that one could consider promoting. And Boston is a good example of where there's been some effort through Portland Hope and New Boston to do additional promotion of energy efficiency. On the third one, and again, we'll touch on this a little bit more later, I just want to mention that the greenhouse gas inventory that Carol had brought up, you know, it sounds like a technical thing, right? You're just totaling, you're kind of adding up emissions. But if you think about it, if you figure out what the sources of pollution are, you can also think about who are affected by them, right? So that that's like an incredibly important tool for actually thinking about healthier communities and figuring out, even within one community, if there's a lot of converted by a particular source of emissions.
Great. So Ben is going to tell you guys a little bit about net zero, and we actually have printouts of the net zero fact sheet. So the way that our fact sheets work, the copy that I gave you guys of the greenhouse gas inventory, we've made it so that you can print the front and back. There's also a third page on them when you find them on our website, which is success stories from a couple of towns that have done them. And the reason that we did that is twofold. We want to show that there are success stories around this. And the other is that that gives you an idea of who you might want to reach out to who's had successes doing this.
So there you go. I hope that gives you some idea about the kinds of resources that are available and gets you inspired to start thinking about stuff you might do on your own. As I said before, we'll put up links to the MCAN website where the information is held, and of course there's contact information for Carol, so you can follow up with her if you want to get going. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.